and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 224, the Is It Spring Yet episode. Officially, it is. Outside my window, the dogwoods are in bloom, and it's like 40 degrees. I don't complain about the weather, but you know, I'm getting real close to it. It's supposed to be like 65 on Wednesday, so we're getting there. But this is North Carolina, man. It's supposed to be birds a-singing and bees a-buzzing and everything right now, and it's been cold. But enough complaining, because I don't complain. I don't complain. I actually have a complaint, but not about the weather. Were you not supposed to tell me, Frances, the next time you make a quilt that's got a lot of black in it, you use the black batting. Do that for us, would you? I think that was your job, and you did not do it. And I'm finally getting around to quilting the melon patch quilt. Actually, I'm getting around to basting it. I'm having some basting issues. I talk about them. They're just me being stupid issues. No surprise to anybody. But as I'm doing it and I'm getting all this white batting all over the black fabric, I'm like, ugh, I was supposed to get dark batting to do this. And I blame you because you were supposed to tell me. I have said that before. Tell me. Remind me. My brain doesn't work that well. I need your help. So, yeah. So yeah, I'm in the process of unbasting so I can rebaste. It's just a matter of, you know, as you're basting, the top shifts around. And so I have at this point finally gotten the right fabric dimensions. You'll hear about that later. And so I'm like, okay, yay, I'm going to baste. I'm going to baste again and it's going to be wonderful. And then I realized just on one corner, things have shifted. So there's not really any excess backing fabric. It's even, and you know what? I've had that happen before, and there is pulling. There is shortage, right? And once you start quilting, and I just, you know, part of me is just like, ah, just move on. But and part of me is just like, well, just add another 3 inches. It'd be easy enough to add 3 inches of fabric to the bottom. I could just sew it on. But I thought, yeah, and then you're going to end up cutting on the seam of the added fabric. So just quit being lazy and redo it. So I'm going to redo it, but it's irritating me to death. Yeah, just to death. That's all I have to say. So I'm trying to think if there's anything I need to tell you about or warn you about or say before we get going on the quilt diaries. I always think of something later and sometimes I add a little edit to say, oh yeah, I forgot, but I don't think I'm forgetting anything right now. Am I? No. And if I am, I'm just going to have to remember it for next time. Because now it is time to get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Saturday, March 17th, 2018. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Happy NCAA basketball tournament, which I will not watch because it's too nervous making. I enjoy basketball. I think it's a fun game to watch, but I don't know. The older I get, like, the more I hate people losing. I did not watch last night. There's a big game. You can hear my neighbors around here whooping. University of Kentucky is playing right now, so maybe they're all having parties, which I have not been invited to. Many of our neighbors are either significantly older than we are or significantly younger. We're just the middle-aged people in the blue house with the cute dog. Anyway, last night, UVA, number one seed UVA, lost to number 16 seed University of Maryland, Baltimore County. And, you know, on the one hand, it's a great story of the underdog winning big. It's the first time that's ever happened that a number 16 seed beat a number one seed in the first round. I think that's the record that was broken. So that's exciting. And it's just, you know, it's just this little team from nowhere that did an amazing thing. Do I care? Not really. But here's the thing. My problem, I didn't watch the game. I'm so glad that I didn't because I would have felt so badly for the UVA players. Now, I actually don't know much about the UVA basketball program. And I promise we're not going to be talking college basketball for much longer. But I know a lot of these really good programs are one-and-done schools. This may not be true of UVA, but it is true of a lot of other schools. Our neighboring school here, Duke, we're more Carolina fans, but Duke is a one-and-done. These guys come in, and they play their freshman year, and then they go to the NBA. So in some ways, it's like, I don't know how sorry to feel for them. This is just their gateway to riches, college basketball. But on the other hand, that had to be a really bad loss, and I would feel bad. And I did see a picture of one of the UVA guys crying. I'm just like, I'm just not made for this anymore. I can't do it. I'm getting that way about movies. Like, if I want to watch a movie while I'm sewing, if it's going to be super sad and I can just tell, I'm like, I just can't do it. I can't bear it anymore. Isn't that weird? It's true. It's like Mudbound on Netflix. It was nominated for an Oscar, right? I don't know if it's a Best Picture Oscar or a screenplay, and I know some of the actors were nominated. It's a Netflix movie, nominated for Oscars, and I started it. I'm like, oh, this is really good. Oh, the cinematography is very good. Oh, no, it's just going to break my heart. I can't do it. Sorry. I'm going to go watch Parks and Rec again. So let's talk about what's been up. First of all, this weekend was the Capitol Quilt Guild, their big show over at the State Fairgrounds. And the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild had a table there. We were gifted a table. I thought that was very nice. And we sold tickets to our raffle quilt and other items, including Birds in the Air and Margaret Goes Modern, my books. I've worked, this is my third day over there. The first day was to set up. Yesterday I worked for a couple shifts in the morning, and today I worked a couple shifts in the morning. Yesterday I sold some books, not a ton. It's not really what people are coming to quilt shows for, and I understand that. But a few people were interested, and there were people who picked up Margaret Goes Modern because they had read Birds in the Air, so that was very nice. Today, I think I sold four books this morning to fellow guild members. I love my guild. It's very nice. It's, for me to have a club like this, like a sorority that's not a sorority, it's really fun. And it's a neat group of people. And I was actually very proud of us as a guild. So there were always four people volunteering in the booth. And people came by and they came to look at the things that were being sold. But there were a number of people who were very interested in the guild. And so we were, we'd say, oh, it's a great group and you should come and blah, 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 and this and that. And everyone was so friendly. All the guild members were just so friendly. And people signed up for our mailing list. I mean, tons of people were signing up and seemed excited. And, so people say, oh, yeah, I'm looking for my tribe. I had a really nice talk with a woman named Julie who she lives in Clayton, which is way far away, but comes to the Scrap Exchange because she likes making quilts with all kinds of different fabrics. And she said she went to a quilt guild meeting somewhere where she kind of got frowned upon because she used some silk and a quilt that was otherwise 100% cotton. I'm just like, oh, yeah, you should come to our quilt guild because we just love all quilts. They don't even have to be modern. We're very broad about that. And perhaps some people might find us over broad, and that could be a fair criticism. But I think everyone just loves to see the quilts. Whatever quilt, bring it, show us your quilt. So I was very proud of our guild for just the people there, just being very friendly and welcoming because that's what you want. Whether you're going to trying out a new guild or a new club, a new church, you want to not be ignored because that's a really bad feeling to walk into a room filled with people and everyone's chatting and talking and no one turns to you and says, hey, are you new here? And I've had that happen. I've been ignored at churches. I've been ignored at guilds. I've been ignored in all kinds of places. And what I like about our guild is I don't think people come in and feel ignored. I hope not. I try to talk to people because I'm an old army brat, and that's what you do. Someone new walks in the room, you understand that you will be new someplace else, and so it's your job to say, hey, are you new? I met a listener and now a friend, Tammy, who has just recently moved to the area. Also, Clayton. Clayton is a town that's a little east of Raleigh, and now I feel like I know a lot of people who live in Clayton. And anyway, she had left a comment on the last episode. that she had been a former podcast Off Kilter Quilt listener and then just kind of fell off for a while. Now she's back and she's catching up, and she mentioned she would be at the show. And so sure enough, she came up this morning, and it was great to meet her. I met her husband, also a quilter. She has, yes, that's right, gotten him into the cult, seduced him into the cult of quilting, and he was great. They were both great, so that was really fun. But I am beat. I am pooped. That is just a lot of social energy. And then I had my writing group with my girls this afternoon. So, yeah, so now I'm sitting on my porch listening to people and houses around me having parties that they did not invite me to. I don't even know the people next door on one side. On the other side is the wonderful Miss Janet, the world's greatest neighbor. On the other side, it's a rental property, and it's usually families who rent it, and I think there are often people coming here to go to the Duke Business School, because that seems to be everyone I've met who's lived in that house, that seems to be why they're here. So I think maybe it's a professor over there owns the property. I don't know. But sometimes we meet the people, and sometimes we don't. And I've kind of, this is terrible, given up. And the house is set oddly on the lot, and it's not a house that I can just pop over to, because there's lots of vines and bushes and stuff, and so, I mean, we can't even really see the house. So it's not like we're staring at each other and waiting for the other to make the first move. So, anywho. So, yeah, quilt show. And it was fun. It was a nice show. There were some modern quilts. My friend Patty had a fabulous quilt and a modern quilt. So we were very proud of her. And some other really nice modern quilts. And a number of quilts that I liked a lot. And, you know, so the Capital Quilters, they did a great job. And lots of vendors. I didn't buy anything. You know, I'm not a shopper. I'm really not. And I shop for projects and, you know, all the things that I always say. Where I am quilt-wise, I have attached, I think I by the time I posted the last episode last week, I had attached the facing. So that's, I'm doing a face binding on Sweep Exit. I still haven't sewn it to the back yet. And, you know, I need to do that. Maybe I'll work on that tomorrow. It's one of those things where you're so close to being done, you kind of feel like you are done, but you're not really done. So I need to do that. And then I've been working on a pieced back for the melon patch quilt. And it's really funky looking, and I like it. I'm using this black fabric that I accidentally bought, which is a cotton blend. And it's blendy enough that I cannot iron it on a cotton setting. I have to turn the iron down a little bit. And part of me is just, you know, I'm so determined. It's like, I bought this fabric, I paid for it, and I'm going to use it. And there's part of me thinking, huh, maybe should have given it to Scrap Exchange. I'm a little worried at this point. It doesn't have a lot of stretch, but it's got a little stretch. And so I worry, like, when I start quilting, is there going to be a lot of puckering and pleating because of the fabric? There may be. I don't know. There's a lot of 100% cotton cheddar, so maybe that will offset the stretchiness of the black. But I don't know. And I just found out, I met the owner of the Carrie Quilting Company. Her name is Julianne. She seems delightful. Was wearing the coolest dress yesterday. I can't even describe it, but it was so cool. I should have taken a picture so I could have shown you. It seemed to have lots of embroidery on it. Yeah, she said it was a dress she could only take out, you know, maybe every 4 or 5 months, because once you see it, you remember it, and it's absolutely true. You know, it's like a showpiece dress. But, yeah, I asked her about American-made black, why, you know, I had tried to order it from them a couple times recently, and they didn't have it. And I said, is it just out of stock? And she said that they were no longer carrying the American-made brand, so as they were selling out of stuff, they weren't replacing it. And she said that people were complaining about it, and that it was too thin and fraying. And, you know, I don't know. I get loyal to stuff and then not always the best judge of it. But I have noticed a little bit more fraying than I used to. So I don't know if I'm making that up, but I feel like I've been in a bit of denial about that. And the cheddar I got for the melon patch quilt is Bella Solid. And it's very nice. It's really nice. So anyway, the other thing. Okay, so other quilty stuff is that last Sunday, I participated in a sew-in, also with the Triangle Modern Quilt Guild. And It was just four of us. Partly so, it was the guild retreat, and so we decided that we would have a sew-in for people who stayed in town, and about 12 people said they were interested. And then it was spring forward, time change. I hate the springtime change. I love falling back, but I would sacrifice it to not have to do springing forward. Particularly this week has been Will's fall break, and I mean fall break, spring break. And, you know, and so in one way you think, oh, well, good, I can just ease in to the time change. But it doesn't really work like that. And I realized it would just be better. It's just better to rip the Band-Aid off and get it over with. So, you know, I didn't sleep all that well this week. And so I found myself sleeping to like 8:30 or 9 because I didn't have to get up to get Will to school. But I don't like waking up at 8:30 or 9. So, yeah, anyway, so it was a time change. The weather was really cruddy. So it just ended up being four of us, which ended up actually being quite nice because we really, you know, we chatted and I felt like I got to know the people who were there, Megan and Becky and Cindy, a little better. And it actually worked out really well for Becky because she could, and Cindy too, because, you know, they were laying out their pieces on the floor. They were working on, particularly Becky, working on a very big quilt. So that worked out. And so, it turned out to be a lot of fun. But I do suspect that we would have had more people if the weather had been better and the clocks hadn't changed. Because it's just funky. It's too funky. I'm trying to think. Right now, yeah, the focus has been on piecing the back for Melon Patch. And it's a funky looking. It's kind of G's Bend looking. I had this thought yesterday. I'm like, you're making this quilt partly because you wanted to make it, but partly because it's in Stars Upon Stars, the follow-up to Birds in the Air, which I do hope will be out this summer. And the fictional quilter in Stars Upon Stars, Lillian, who made it, would not have made a G's Bend kind of back. But I thought, oh, yeah. But it's not actually the quilt she made, so I can mess around with it a little bit. I like how it looks. It is very funky looking. Again, a little worried about it with the cotton blend fabric. We'll see how that works out, but I may rue the day I made that decision. I'll let you know. And other than that, you know, oh, I know, I found stars for, you know, the Stars Upon Stars quilt. The stars that I ended up not using, didn't love the colors as much in the quilt. Obviously loved them outside of the quilt enough to use that fabric. But they didn't work in the quilt as well. And I've got a fair number of them. So I do think I'm going to do another funky piece back for that. And and I don't know. It would be, of course, very tempting to put off the quilting of Melon Patch, especially since I have no idea how to quilt it or what thread to use, what color thread to use, given it's a cheddar and black quilt. It's like, what do you use? Any ideas? Let me know. Let me know fast. Yes, it will be very tempting to put that off and work on another back, do some more piecing. But then, you know, I need to start thinking about the other Stars Upon Stars quilts because I am going to, it's always Atlanta. I'm always going to Atlanta when a book comes out, but I'm going to go to Atlanta to Pam's Quilt Guild, which I think, I want to say the East Cobb Quilt Guild. It's a big one, and I need to have quilts to show. And of course, I can bring the Birds in the Air quilts, but I would like to have some Stars Upon Stars quilts as well. So I need to think about the next couple quilts that I want to do for that. And I'd also like to make my friend Jeff a quilt. He's turning 50. He's so young. He's just turning 50. He's turning 50 in June, and he also got married last year, and so I would like to make him a wedding present quilt and a birthday present quilt and put him on, you know, one quilt. But I need to think about that a little bit as well. But I always have ideas bubbling up, so many quilts, so little time, that sort of thing. The other thing, oh, I had fun this week. So, you know, I am doing the Story Bee video series with the Quilt Alliance. I love the Quilt Alliance. You can join the Quilt Alliance till the end of this month for $25, and then they're raising the fees to like $30 you can, of course, pledge at any level you want, but it's going up to $30, maybe $35. I don't know. And you know, I love the Quilt Alliance, and I know I want you to join to support it. And now you can watch these videos. And the one that I did with Alex Anderson, which is posted today, we're doing one a month. And you know, it's good. She's such a delight. And the only thing about it is because we're talking via our computers using the Zoom app. So we're talking to each other. And it's a little weird because I'm a little spastic sometimes when I talk. I use my hands a lot. I make a lot of faces. And sometimes I'm like leaning toward Alex as though we were sitting in a room together. But what I'm really doing is leaning toward this camera. And sometimes it's a little scary, and my eyes get a little strange, and I think, you know, and I look actually insane. Now, other times I look perfectly nice and fine, so I swear this is not me. Believe me, I spent an hour and a half this afternoon with adolescent girls, and I really get, you know, and I love them, and they're geniuses, but they're at that age where they're like, this is so weird, I'm so stupid, and so I don't want to get into that, because I've had my fill of that for today. But there are some moments. This is why you should join the Quilt Alliance, so you can access these videos. The interview, you know, again, Alex is great. You get to see her studio, which, of course, is fabulous. You get to hear her talk about a quilt, so all kinds of good things going on. And then you can see me looking absolutely insane. At times, most of the time, you know, 78% of the time, I look normal. But I tend to also look off to the side. When I'm thinking and talking, so I look off to the left, and so yeah, so part of me is just like, wow. Hopefully people will not be too focused on me either, and obviously it's more on it's more on Alex than me, thank God, but there are a couple shots where I'm like, oh, I'm scaring myself. But this week, I interviewed Denise Schmidt, and if you're a textiles person, if you're a modern quilt person, or just a quilt person, I think you should join the Quilt Alliance so you can see this. She was wonderful. We did the interview. She was in her studio in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Her studio is in an old manufacturing building that was built like in the 1900. It's got hardwood floors. It's got really high ceilings and floor-to-ceiling windows and amazing light. It's an amazing space. She is as nice as she can be. We had a great talk. It's to me, it's really fun when you kind of get into a conversation, and I felt that we did. And so she's interesting and funny and very down to earth. So I hope in this one that I won't when I see it go, oh good, more and more crazy eye stuff. The crazy eye stuff is really kind of, it's a little disconcerting. I'm like, wow, you really look nuts. But this was a good interview. And another interview that's coming up, which I didn't do, but Mary Kay Vogel, who's part of the Quilt Alliance, or a friend of the Quilt Alliance, did with this woman named Emily Bodie. She is in New York. She's a clothes designer, fashion designer. And although I think right now it's menswear. And what she does is she collects old textiles, particularly quilts, and makes clothes from them. And it's couture? Is that how you say that? I'm not sure. So it's high fashion. And the stuff she makes is very cool. It's very wearable. She's been featured in GQ and Vogue and the New York Times had a big piece on her. And she's young. She's like 28 years old. She's from Atlanta. She lives in New York now. Amy Milne, who's the executive director of the Quilt Alliance, went up to New York and, did a tour of her studio, and that's what all these interviews include, the studio tour, which I love because I love seeing the inside of people's spaces. Maybe one day I'll do a studio tour and you can see my messy life. But so Amy went up and you see the space that Emily Bodie's working in, but Mary Kay Vogel does the interview, and she is a quilt historian. And she makes it very clear that I've watched it now. It's not been posted, but it's sort of like that. The question is this a cool thing to do, to rip up textiles or cut up textiles and quilts in particular? A lot of these are antique quilts, and Bodie travels all over. She travels all over, not just in the States, but also in Europe. And refashions these things. And there are going to be some quilt makers who are not going to like that at all. I think it's kind of cool, because There's not a bit, you know, it's like, first of all, it's like, make all the quilts you want because someone's going to come along and make, you know, a suit jacket out of them. Right? I mean, there's so many quilts. And there's not a huge market for antique quilts now. You can get an antique quilt pretty cheaply. I mean, you know, obviously there's sort of ones with real historical significance or that have been beautifully preserved. That's a little bit different. But you can go on eBay and get a quilt made 100 years ago for not all that much money. I hear a flute. Can you hear it? I don't know what's going on over there. Now I'm getting scared. Yeah, so you can get an antique vintage quilt for not much money at all. So, you know, I kind of like the idea that she's refashioning these things. So, anyway, here's some other news about the Quilt Alliance. I have been asked to join the Quilt Alliance board. I know you're thinking, okay, great. We're going to hear even more about the Quilt Alliance on your podcast. Yes, you are. Because I love it. Because, you know, I love quilt history. I love documenting quilts. But most of all, the documentation of quilt stories to me is just, I love it. I mean, I love stories, right? We're all story people here. We're all story. Yeah, you're a story person. I'm a story person. And so I really believe in the mission. So I'm very excited. I'm going to talk, I haven't formally accepted because I want to talk with Amy and we're going to talk tomorrow just to make sure. It's like, yes, be on our board. And by the way, each board member is expected to contribute $2,000 a year because then I'm like, I'll need to wait until my sons graduate from college. But I doubt that's the case. And that will be really neat. And I will tell you interesting things, I promise. So that is all my news right now. Right now, today's a beautiful day. We have had really, it happens every year, horrible weather. Not that I care about the weather, but it's been really bad. It's like, it's, you know, it's raining and suddenly you look outside and it's snowing a little bit. Or the other day where it was perfectly clear and then there's a little bit of cloud coverage and all of a sudden it's like little snowflakes are coming down and it just, for 5 minutes, it snowed for 5 minutes. That's the kind of weather we're having. You'll be happy to know that Jack made it back home from Philadelphia and New York, back to Davidson, safe and sound. And yeah, which is good because he had like the worst weather of the winter to go to New England. So, all right, we are just getting some interesting music from next door. I can't even explain this music. It's like a mix between English folk music and Brazilian pop. That's not really, it's not that poppy, but I can't actually tell what language it's in. All right, well, good. Party on, Garth. All right, I think that's what I have to say for now, but I've enjoyed this time talking with you. There've probably been some things I forgot to say, but that's okay because this is just Quilt Diary Day 1. Count on a Quilt Diary Day 2. I hope I'll have even more interesting things to tell you. And until then, Travis says, see you later. Quilt Diary Day 3, or 2, or 1. I have no idea anymore. I'm lost. Hello. I'll tell you what day it is. It is Thursday, March 22nd, 2018. And this is a quick drop-in. And I'll come back later to finish up this episode. But I was just taking a little break, surfing through Facebook, which feels like a dangerous activity now. And I saw a post from Mary Fonz, who I like very much and think is great and is doing all kinds of great things. But she had a picture of herself and a couple other people at QuiltCon. And the caption is, at QuiltCon 2018, doing editorial work for Quilt Folk with quilt superstars Tricia Royal and Carson Converse. Now, I have to say, I have no idea who Tricia Royal and Carson Converse are. But my thought was, don't need any more quilt superstars. Again, this is nothing against Mary Fonz, because we do talk that way. And, you know, and I talk about fangirling on people like Jackie Gehring. I had to be very reserved when I interviewed Denise Schmidt the other day, because, you know, I am a fan of hers. I think she's really remarkable and has made really important contributions to the world of quilting. But there's something about sort of, oh, she's a quilting rock star. She's a quilting superstar. that, and maybe it's because I'm working on an essay right now about why I make quilts, and I'm writing about this kind of not exactly anonymous quilter, but a quilter whose quilts I found in a quilt documentation project book, the Nebraska book. And this woman's name is Marie Vasoba, and the quilt included in the book is from 1922. And, you know, and it's not, it's a very nice quilt. You know, but I just was, Vasoba's biography is included, and so I was kind of riffing on that and what have you. And I was thinking, you know, most of us who make quilts, we make them because we love them. In fact, I mean, at this point, all of us who make quilts, no one's forcing us. And I would argue that through the years, back into the 19th century, when women started making more and more quilts because cotton got a lot cheaper for reasons which are horrible, but there you have it. The women who made quilts did it because they wanted to make quilts, right? Because a blanket is always cheaper. In terms of time spent, a blanket is cheaper. And I think that's been true throughout the history of quilt making. You know, and women who made quilts in the 18th century in the United States, I guess it wasn't really the United States yet, but in America, you know, before cotton got cheap, you know, to make a quilt, I mean, you had to be rich, right? So again, it wasn't, no one was making quilts as a men to make do kind of effort. I think that, you know, we make quilts. Women have always made quilts because we love the process. We love what quilts, how quilts look, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this huge army of quilt makers throughout time. And the idea that some of us are superstars is really starting to bug me. You know, I'm like, because there's something about that, because it has to do with money. It has to do with fame. And in the quilting world, I mean, that's what you have to do, right? You have to make yourself known as a pattern designer, a fabric designer, someone who's just an amazing blogger who makes beautiful quilts and posts them on Instagram and somehow finds remuneration in that. I don't know how you get paid for beautiful quilts on Instagram unless you have a website in which you're selling patterns and fabric and craftsy classes and what have you. And while I don't object to people making money by teaching quilting, designing fabric, selling quilts, what have you, none of that's objective to me, objectionable to me. I don't like what it creates in terms of sort of an elite quilt making world. And then there's the rest of us, because, you know, it just kind of feels like, yeah, I don't want superstars in quilting. I know there are quilters I absolutely admire. And by talking about myself as a fangirl, I realize I have contributed to that. Does this make any sense? I don't know. It just struck me the wrong way. And if it was a very casual, just, oh, quilting superstars. And I was like, never heard of them. But, you know, there are all kinds of people I haven't heard of. I think in quilting, we get in our own little circles. And so there are all kinds of people doing interesting things that you've never heard of, because that's just not in your, that's not in your area of interest. So yeah, but that, and one of the things, and it's interesting, is one of the things that I like about quilt folk is in the issues that I've read, there doesn't seem to be a real focus on, like, here's our quilting superstars. You know, it's, here's this woman who's been making quilts for 70 years in Iowa. Here's this, well, you know, here's this couple that owned this quilt store in Portland, Oregon, and, you know, and he's actually the quilt maker. So it gets to that kind of everybody quilts sort of thing, right? And that this is just this thing we do that we love. So anyway, I'm being a little incoherent here, but yeah, I don't want quilting superstars. I just want quilt makers, and I want to see all the quilts and love all the quilts, but I don't. Yeah. So I guess I'm gonna have to stop fangirling. I think it's okay to admire certain quilt makers, or to say this person has made a real contribution. I think Jackie Gearing has made a real contribution to the quilting world. I think Denise, Schmidt, who I keep wanting to call Denise Schultz, please don't do that, has made a real contribution. I admire them. I think they do amazing work. I think I have now met both of them, because Jackie came to our guild and I did this interview with Denise. And they seem to me to be very real people who are very talented. So, I don't know. I just want to share that. I just want to express myself to you on that. And I may be full of it. I don't know. I will consider to ponder why that word just kind of set me off. But yeah, I think it's because you spend time with these books, these quilt documentation project books. And the beauty of it is there were no superstars. Now, that's not really the beauty of it. The beauty of it is just everyday people were making beauty. You know, we're making gorgeous, functional, for the most part, blankets because they, you know, wanted to express themselves creatively. They wanted to make their homes beautiful. They wanted to give something to the people they love that was an expression of their selves. So, end of sermon. I'll be back. Bye for now. Quilt Diary Day. I can't remember what we're calling it. Day 3. I feel like there was one day maybe I did 2 diaries. Very confused. I've confused myself. No idea what's going on here whatsoever. What else is new? But today is Friday, March something, 23rd, I think. Possibly the 22nd. You know what? I have a little calendar over here on my fridge. We're walking and talking, walking and talking. It is the 23rd of March. And it is sunny and nice, and I have Travis the quilt dog here. You can hear him make little funny noises, maybe. I like audio. I like ambient noise, like Travis yawning, me throwing my shoes down. I'm kind of talking to you. It's like I'm on the phone, and I'm talking to you and sort of straightening up. And I'm walking over here to my melon patch quilt, which is fine. Nothing's wrong with the quilt. It reminds me of this time where we were watching my neighbor Amy's chickens. Yes, the chickens. And I went over to her house and it was in the evening. It was in the summer and it was the evening. And I noticed that her back door was open. And so I called her and I started out the conversation by, "Nothing is wrong with the chickens, but your back door is open." And they had just left that day on vacation. And sure enough, the man went over very bravely and looked around and no one was in the house. And we're pretty sure her husband, Anthony, who is a wonderful, marvelous, dear, sweet, little bit of an absent-minded professor kind of guy, just forgot to close the door. But yes, but she later said, "I so appreciated that you started off by saying nothing is wrong with the chickens." So nothing is wrong with my melon patch quilt with the top, and nothing is really wrong with the back other than I must have either mismeasured the top, or do you know what I think I might have done? Is it possible? Okay, basically what happened is this. But I just had an idea of what my own stupidity may have been in this process. But I'll try to get back to that or forget it forever. But so I'm standing in front of my design wall, which is now, you know, very, very wide. It's got to be like 8 feet wide now, which is nice. And so I hate basting. My least favorite part of the quilting process is basting the quilt sandwich. But the last quilt, God, it feels like 10 million years ago since I've actually quilted a quilt or put together a quilt sandwich because I am lazy. I realized I could do it using the design board. You have to be careful not to poke your safety pins into the board so that you are actually pinning not only the quilt sandwich but also the flannel. But otherwise it's great because you're doing it standing up. And last night I had this great idea because one of my least favorite parts of the basting process is cutting the batting so it's the right size. So what I did is I put the batting on my design wall And then I put the back, because right, the back of the quilt is going to be bigger than the front, so you can cut down. And I cut around the back of the quilt. So cut the batting. So there was a couple inches on each side. So I thought, this is so smart. This is so smart. And then I took those off and I put the quilt back on. I put the quilt back on the design wall, right? And I did it facing wrong side out, right? Pinned it up there, and then put the batting on top of that, and then repinned. So then we had the batting and the back, and it's all going really well. Put the quilt top on, and the quilt is, it's about 5 feet, but I've got the measurements over here. So it's 5 feet long and a little more than 4 feet, like 4.5 feet wide, right? So, so it's a long quilt, and I'm not sure. Yeah, and I'm 5'4". I'm not sure how high this wall is. Anyway, so I put the quilt top on, and everything's draping down onto the floor, but it looks like it's all good. So I start pinning, and I'm halfway through. I'm like, oh, this is so easy. I love doing it this way. It just is so much easier than doing it on the floor, especially when you get to that age where it really hurts your knees to do it on the floor. But I'm looking at the bottom, like, before I pin this whole thing, I'm about halfway done. I'm like, you know, you might want to make sure that you've got everything placed correctly so that there's enough batting on the bottom that, you know, that. And I realized there's not. And in fact, when I lifted up, I realized the back is about, I'm looking at it now, maybe 10 inches short, 10 inches shorter than the top. Now, what went wrong here could be so many different things, because I am a bit challenged in so many different ways. So I'm thinking that I meant to add that 10 inches of length and just forgot. That would be just like me to think, oh yeah, great, now I have this done, and that I forgot to add it. It's possible that I was actually looking at the wrong dimensions, that I was looking at the quilt top's dimensions when I was constructing the back. But I don't think that's right, because I'm looking at the quilt now. The back is certainly wider than the top. It's just not longer. So I think probably what happened is I forgot to add that I needed to add that length. I was so ready to be done, because, you know, here's the thing. I love black and cheddar. I like this quilt top a lot. I think it's very cool. Obviously, it's a traditional pattern, and it's just super cool looking. It's completely copied from this quilt made in 1901 or something, that's in the North Carolina Quilt Documentation Project book, North Carolina Quilts. So totally copied, colors included. I love it. I love everything about it. I love cheddar and black just combined. Is just a great, obviously it's like Halloween colors, right? It's a really graphically cool combination. I'm a little tired of cheddar and black at this point. So I think I was just ready to be, let's get this done. So the problem, of course, is not that just I'm going to have to add length to that back, but I also cut the batting to work with that back. So I'm going to have to add length to the batting, which I have. I kind of hate. I have not perfected the process of joining batting. You can do it, right? And there's a way to do it with like seam to seam stuff that I've never quite mastered, but you can also do a zigzag. And I feel like Pam over at Hip to Be a Square sent me a tutorial or something on that, or has talked about that. And I've done it before, but me being me, it's not, you know, even close to perfect. And, you know, and it's hard, it's a little bit hard to sew batting together, pieces of batting together, just because, you know, it stretches so easily, and it's very easy to have gaps. But that's what I'm gonna have to do. And I think last night I'm like, I'm not even gonna unpin, right? Because it's only half pinned or half basted. But now I'm thinking, no, you really don't want it. It's going to make your life miserable to be trying to sew on length to stuff while throwing around this quilt sandwich. So anyway, I'm just like, you know, and again, because I've been so just kind of putting it off. And yesterday I looked at the North Carolina book and I looked, it's like, how did this quilter quilt it? And she quilted it just following the shape. So it's, you know, you have the sort of the petals of the melon and just followed the line of the petals. So this kind of curved quilting to match the curved piecing. And, and I can do that. And I think I'll do that. Yeah, I'm not going to hand quilt it. I'm starting to think about Stars Upon Stars and getting this book out and making quilts to go along with the book. And so this is the second one. But yeah, I've got others to do. I kind of need to get moving on this. I'd like to have this all ready for when I go to Atlanta, which I think I may have said in another quilt diary this episode. So I need to get a move on. But yeah, but so it's just so frustrating. It's like I finally bit the bullet. I'm going to do this. I have decided how I'm going to quilt this. Let's get going. And then realize, it's such a drag. It's not in the scheme of things, you know, a quilter's problem, not a real world problem, but still. The reason why we're talking here is because we're quilters and we want to talk about these things together. So anyway, so I just thought I would pop on and share that. But I'll tell you what, because I want to get this posted over the weekend, our rainy, cold, unspring-like weekend. I'm going to see more. Look, can you hear? That's me tapping on my keyboard. Don't you love? It's like real. It's like radio. It's like live radio. So let's go over to our Off-Kilter Quilt site. I got some really sweet comments. I think I must have said sad things about comments. Whenever I do, people are so nice. Like, we're sorry. And I also got really great comments over on the Facebook, the Twilter page on the Facebook. I saw some little old lady. Well, you know, on the Facebook, a lot of the young folks today. All right. So, and I think I mentioned that I heard from Tammy, who I got to meet. I heard from Andra. Andra, I'm going back and forth again. I'm like, it's Andra. It's not Andra, right? It's and tell me again. You've told me before. And I just feel, and I just saw a picture of you and I think your son who won some science fair or something, like state, like his science team won the state science thing. And it was really cool. And all I can think is you're gorgeous and you look really young. Heard from Cindy. Now here's the thing. Cindy's in Tennessee and so is Andra. And I think Andra, it's making me crazy. Is it Andra, like Andrew? We've discussed this and I've met you in person and my brain is so old, so, so old. Anyway, QuiltCon Nashville next year. I know Cindy's going to be there. Be interested to know any other Tennessee people going to be there. By the way, if there's anyone in the Knoxville area, I am speaking at a quilt guild. The sad thing is I cannot tell you that the Smoky Mountain Quilt Guild, 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 3rd. I'm going to go do that the night of the 3rd, and then I'm going to go visit an elementary school in Knoxville on the morning of the 4th and then come back home. And the 5th is Uncle Eli, and that becomes a big question. Am I going to go to Uncle Eli? I kind of want to because I didn't go last year, and I'd kind of want to. I know I'll be a little tired from my trip, but we'll see. We'll see. Okay, anyway, I also heard from Vicky. Thank you, Vicky. And Vicky Podcasts over at My Creative Corner. And I hope you will go listen to her. She does a great podcast. She also, I've mentioned this before, I'll mention it again, has a really great, it's My Creative Corner 3. And she has a great Facebook page that's very active and very fun. So I recommend looking for that too. Although you may be like a lot of people going, I don't know about Facebook anymore. And thanks as always to Noni, who is always such a great commenter. I appreciate your faithfulness to me. Thank you, Noni. So thanks to everyone who commented on the Off-Kilter Quilt blog and who commented over on Twilters. I love hearing from you. I understand that you comment in your head, and it's okay because I hear those too, because I am magic. I hope that you are having a good quilty life right now, that if you've been in a quilting rut, that something about spring inspires you and you dig your way out. And yeah, and I could just go on and tell you all the things I hope for you, but mostly I hope that you're happy, that your health is good, that your family treats you as well as you deserve to be treated. And if they're not, let us know. We'll come give them a talking to. All right, until next time, I'll talk to you later. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.